it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, Larry Richard with anchorman Paul Rasmussen. Big news of the day. Possibility of an end of the shutout or shutdown. That's the big question for a lot of people who are really feeling the economic pinch. We start with CBS's Jared Hill.
There is another vote expected to happen today to try and end this government shutdown. It'll actually be the 12th vote. But the two parties seem to be still very far apart on the key issue that could end this thing. Millions of Americans, meanwhile, are now caught in the middle as paychecks and benefits are about to dry up.
We will not be extorted.
As the government shutdown stretches into day 22, President Trump holding the line after meeting with congressional Republicans Tuesday and rejecting Democrats' call for a meeting of their own.
I'd love to meet with them. I just want them to open up the country first.
Congressional Democrats also aren't backing down on their demand that Republicans negotiate on the rising costs of health care.
Republicans may not have time to fix people's health care, but apparently they got plenty of time for a mini pep rally with Donald Trump.
At a food bank in Maryland, furloughed federal workers like Melissa Westbrook stocked up as they braced for more days without pay.
We don't know when it's going to end, and I need to pay my bills.
Tomorrow, the Senate could take up a bill that would allow some federal workers like active duty military to get paid. A source also confirmed to CBS News that Senate Democrats are working on a bill to pay all federal workers. This as the FAA has issued more ground delays and stops due to air traffic control staffing issues. States are also warning that SNAP benefits will run out if the stalemate continues.
We're hopeful that this will be the week when we break out of this and the Democrats come to their senses.
Today, Senate Majority Leader John Thune says he plans to bring up the House GOP's clean bill to reopen the government through mid-November. A vote for the 12th time with no clear sign much has changed.
Despite the shutdown, the White House says that it will release about $3 billion in aid to American farmers. Some of them have been strained ever since China stopped buying U.S. soybeans during this protracted trade war.
CBS's Jared Hill.
I don't know if I picked up on it or not, Larry, in that report. Did they mention that the Republicans are saying, excuse me, the voice is kind of going a little way off on me this morning. The Republicans are saying that they'll discuss the health care items.
Yes.
After, right? Is that
correct?
Okay.
So people understand the sticking point is the health care.
Yeah. The expiring subsidies for affordable care policies.
Correct. So the Republicans are saying we'll talk about it, but we're not going to include that in this deal. So the discussion can continue. Obviously, the Democrats don't believe that that'll actually happen, so that's why they're holding tight.
We're about 3 weeks into the shutdown, which means that the temporary spending measure, I would assume, would only last for four. They were thinking about seven, right?
Right. That was going to be the end of November anyway.
I mean, so if this thing lasts a month, they may not even have 2 weeks before they have another spending bill cliff to jump off of.
So, by the way, you know, this is day 22. It's now the second longest government shutdown. And the people that are really feeling that economic pinch, and add to it for Pennsylvanians, the fact that we don't have a budget yet. And as you heard, there's great acrimony between the governor and Kim Ward, And Kim's one of the top Republicans, obviously the governor, a Democrat. So it doesn't seem like they're getting any further down the road there. And 160,000 people will not have SNAP benefits in Allegheny County.
Oh, actually, it's interesting that you would bring that up, because I was noticing this morning a couple of related items. On the PG website, it says in the Pittsburgh area, 300,000 will lose their SNAP benefits. So they're probably talking about expanded region. And then another story we want to pick up on and expand on this morning was in the Tribune Review. And the commissioners in Westmoreland County have okayed a loan. They're going to apply for one of Stacey Garrity's loans at the Treasury Department so that they can pay for human services in the county. It's like about $100 and some million that they need to continue the human services. These are the people that work directly with people who need health care at home, the elderly, things of this sort, handicapped.
And ironically, the city of Pittsburgh's budget, they're going to be talking about that in great detail in November, as we are going to get a new mayor one way or another.
And I was wondering, I wonder how Corey O'Connor feels about all of this. He's the likely next mayor of the city of Pittsburgh. And everyone's discussing the budget, and everyone has a seat at the table except the person who's going to inherit the budget.
Isn't that interesting?
It's kind of ironic, isn't it?
And he's a money guy because, as you know, he's the current Allegheny County Comptroller, which is a third party of the government and should be the financial overseer of all that spending. They're the ones who do the details. So he knows a lot about putting budgets together. You would think that they would at least have a conversation. Maybe they have. I don't know.
The only word I can come up with to describe the three situations we've just gone over, federal, yeah, state, and local.
Is it a word you could say on the air?
Dysfunctional, right?
Yeah.
Hey, by the way, I wanted to shift gears on the weather real quickly. The National Weather Service last night posted a radar snap of that storm system that passed through. A lot of people were surprised, and me included. I woke up around 10 o'clock to thunder and lightning.
Right.
And they said small hail was included as that line of storms passed over us. And on the X account, Bill Milligan, a guy over, I guess he's in Finleyville, posted a video of some of the hail coming down, and it's significant.
Well,
pretty good sized pebbles here.
Just got home from the Penguin game, so I was up late, for me late, and just after 10, boom, like, where did that come from? So we're not going to be dealing with any of that today, but it's only going to be 50 degrees for a high.
It is chilly out there.
Chilly. Dysfunctional.
Yeah.
I think that's an accurate description of our government, whatever level it is. Oh, well, let's give credit to Allegheny County. At least Arianna Murano's budget didn't include a tax hike this year and isn't in as great dysfunction as the others.
And yesterday, to give Sarah credit for something she's been working on, the 500 and 500 idea of creating housing for the homeless, housing units, she's exceeded that goal. She held a news conference to talk about that yesterday.
I hope that works for everybody's sake. So here we go. Driving the day's news, weekday afternoons with Colin Dunlap, brought to you by Service Master of Greater Pittsburgh, Demand the Yellow Van. So, Aaron, Paul.
Here they come.
Every day about this time.
I'm looking forward to these now. I really am. There's no telling what he's going to have found in his rooting around the internet.
Right.
I like rooting around, as Michael Bartley would say. This one, though, I want to start with this. Pittsburgh named one of National Geographic's best of the world cities to visit in 2026. That is absolutely elite international travel listing extraordinaire.
Well, I'll say
25 of the most awe-inspiring, meaningful, and immersive travel experiences of the year, and one of those is Pittsburgh. Maybe, you know, we're so self-deprecating sometimes. Maybe we don't see, obviously, what other people see, because a lot of times you might not think of our city as quite that good. I mean, that's extraordinary.
It is. In fact, we got Jared Bacher's reaction. He's the president and CEO of Visit Pittsburgh. Here's what he said about that.
What Nat Geo told us that they were really impressed by was the investments that are coming into Pittsburgh, including the new Pittsburgh International Airport. But of course, all of the public spaces that are being invested in, such as Arts Landing, the new Market Square, a lot of the other areas that are being invested in, such as Point State Park, all of those investments really stood out.
And the future here is bright for the region.
And the draft hasn't even come yet.
Well, we had the U.S. Open, which brought international attention.
Right.
And then our international airport is going to open here in weeks, we hope, which will be a whole new window to the world when people come here. And then the largest spectator sport in the region's history in April with the NFL draft.
Right.
And the announcements of the multi-billions of dollars being invested in this state, particularly here in southwestern Pennsylvania, on artificial intelligence, the energy business that is needed to drive that, the robotics. Yeah. Tens of thousands of construction jobs. We should feel good about us, meaning Pittsburgh. So,
and people do come here. They drive through that tunnel with that iconic view of the city. And the first words out of their mouth are, oh my gosh, the city's so pretty.
It is one of the most beautiful skylines in the U.S. There's no arguing that.
Unreal.
This reminds me of an old Saturday Night Live skit. He goes, gosh darn it, people like me.
Stuart Smiley.
Stuart Smiley.
Right.
It was an old skit, Aaron, and he'd have a sweater on. And he would, you know.
This was a Phil Hartman bit.
It's like a self, you know, actualization.
Self-affirmation.
Affirmation.
Type thing. And,
gosh darn it, people like me.
He would do this in a mirror, by the way.
Pittsburgh, people like us.
It was hysterical.
Yes.
Even though we, you know, sometimes we criticize ourselves too much, you know.
Just a little bit.
We're not this, we're not that, we're not, you know what? Yeah,
one of the things I like the most about us getting the draft is it's going to shift a lot of people's opinions or perceptions about Pittsburgh. When I came to Pittsburgh for the first interview to come to work here, I was unprepared for what it was going to look like. And we came out the tunnel and
it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know why it's not
outside of Cleveland.
You know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him. And they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right. And the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
You said it was wow. And I think that we're going to get so much aerial coverage of right?
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be so many great aerial shots of Pittsburgh. And a lot of people will be seeing it for the first time.
And here's what Gladys in Dormont will say. They got them drones flying all over the house.
Exactly.
Put your curlers away. All right. Check this out. Landlines are making a comeback. It's not because of 90s nostalgia. Parents have Gen Alpha kids want them to have a social life, but not a smartphone. So more are getting wall phones in their kitchen. They're making a comeback. Some new wired phones actually work off a Wi-Fi instead of a phone jack and have parental control so kids can't accidentally call China.
So what you're saying is that they go back with the tech, but it's still like on a Bluetooth type, a Wi-Fi type.
It's almost like fake tech because we were hardwired, and some people still hardwired phone.
You know, I don't know, Aaron, if you understand this concept, but Larry and I do, about fighting over who gets to use the phone next.
You know, I remember being little, and I was visiting my great aunt or something, and I was around my mom and all of her cousins, And they basically were, they showed me a wall phone was still on the wall. And they were like, we used to do this and this person would be hopping over this person's back to get to this phone. So I can imagine. And like I said, this generation wants to backtrack so hard, but they don't at the same time.
Mm. Well, I grew up three brothers. I'm the middle child, the well-adjusted middle child. And then we have a younger sister. And it was a battle on the phone. And we all sounded alike, including my dad. So nobody, when they call, they'd be like, Ken, Dave, Larry, Pat, Pooch.
I love that.
Just run down the list in chronological order. Yeah.
Get off the phone. You would hear that incessantly. So landlines making a comeback. And one other note, Christmas tree, 65-foot Christmas tree showed up overnight in Birmingham, England, in a little town. And it's 2 months early. They are getting ready for their German market. And they skipped right over Halloween. And yesterday I was in a CVS and they had their Santa stuff out.
Or go down to Market Square where a Christmas tree's up? See, ?
And I'm one of those old-fashioned people. I don't want to hear Christmas music and all that until after Thanksgiving.
Right.
Right?
All right. We'll call you later.
Thank you.
Show, and with the change in the weather and next weekend changing of the clocks, we wrapping up construction season on the Pennsylvania roads. Well, we have the man. PennDOT's District 11 Executive Jason Zhang is here. Welcome back, Jason.
Thanks, Larry. Good morning. How are you this morning? And thanks for having me.
How's it feel to live in one of the 25 best cities in the world, according to National Geographic?
I grew up here, born and raised. I love it here. So, yeah, it feels good.
All right, let's talk about this big project, Route 28, about the wrong way detection. I know this is something that you've been working on a long time. So what's the status update?
Yeah, we are we're probably 75% completed. We just started this in early spring here of this year, 2025, and should be wrapping up spring of next year, maybe February to March, sometime that time frame. So yeah, it's good progress. Great progress. I think they've gotten a lot done in a short amount of time.
Yeah, really, really needed. And there have been some issues over the years and fairly recently, too. So this is a life-saving project, too. So that'll be done in the spring.
Yep. Yep, absolutely. And, when somebody gets on the road going the wrong way, it usually does end up, unfortunately, it does seem to end up in a fatality. So it is a very serious problem. This project is not going to eliminate that, because unless you put a barrier up to physically block the ramp, you can't guarantee that somebody's still not going to go the wrong way. But hopefully this helps.
It'll definitely help and save lives. All right. I want to talk to you. Full disclosure, I used the 910 Wexford interchange off of 79. So even last night, coming back from the Penguins game, I saw the southbound traffic. There are some restrictions. And so this is a major project. And can you give us kind of a thumbnail of what exactly is going to happen there? Because so many people use that exchange.
Yeah. So what we're doing is basically the biggest part of the project is relocating the northbound 79 ramps, the off-ramp that takes you to 910, and the on-ramp that takes you back to 79 from 910, northbound. We're basically eliminating those, the big pictures, eliminating the ramps where they are, and relocating them across 79 to the west of 79 towards Nicholson Road. So that's pretty much the bulk of the project, if I can describe it at a very high level there. So that means we've got to build two bridges. You're still going to get off to the right. It's not going to be a left. It's not going to be an off a ramp to your left, exit left. It's going to be a ramp off to the right. But then you're going to basically, as we say, fly over 79 to 910. Yep.
I get it now. So there'll be two new flyover structures that you have to build, and coming from the city. And then you'll be able to, but you'll be getting off on the other side of 79 from where you are now, which will allow a more organized, I guess, because it's a convergence of so many different ways.
Yeah, and one of the big things that does is it eliminates a traffic signal at the northbound off-ramp. So you've got that signal, and then you've got a signal right next to that Brandt School Road and VIP Drive. And, you know, if you use that a lot, you see how that all starts to back up. You get what happens is you get one movement, like everybody trying to make a right. There's not a lot of room to store those cars, and then it just blocks everybody else, and the traffic backs up onto 79. And it's one of the highest crash areas that we have in our district. Yeah, because of the when it starts backing up onto the highway there, then you get rear-ended. We've got 290 crashes.
Really?
From 2017. Yeah, from 2017 to 2019 in that area. And 85% of those are rear-end crashes. So this is a really important project.
$46.5 million ending September 2027. That's the 910 Wexford interchange off 79. Now, let's go to Boyce Road. Speaking of 79, this is Parkway West, right?
That's right. Yep.
So what's the game plan?
This is good news. It's pretty much done. I mean, we're pretty much wrapping up out there. It's just minor things to finish up with. Just some sign structure work, some pavement markings, which this time of year gets to be tricky with the weather. We have to have certain temperatures, and it obviously has to be dry to be putting pavement markings down. But joint sealing, just like what we call punch list work, and that'll wrap up in January. So we're pretty much out of there on that project. We should be out of everybody's way.
All right, you got to get a lot done too before that draft comes.
Yeah, we're not working during the draft. You could be sure of that. We'll be out of people's way.
All right. Appreciate, as always, the update. Good information, Jason. Thank you.
Thank you, Larry.
Jason Zhang is PennDOT District 11 Executive, and you're up to date.
Senate passed a budget Tuesday that's likely DOA in the Democratic-controlled House. Governor Josh Shapiro rejected the GOP offer and questioned the Senate's work ethic.
And by the way, they get paid full time for showing up for work only 35 days. I think that's offensive to the good people of Pennsylvania who work every day, and they work their tails off, especially in communities like this.
Well, in the moment when some of those people who aren't getting money and funding they need, it might resonate, but Kim Ward fired back. So what that tells you is it doesn't sound like they're any closer to getting anything done.
Yeah, her position remains the same, that the budget the governor and the Democrats want is a deficit spending budget, and they would have to raise taxes to pay for it. An animal rights group has filed a lawsuit against the Pittsburgh Zoo and Aquarium, and they're demanding the release of its elephants.
Well, that is not going to happen. I don't see it happening, and we'll see if it gets any traction at all or a response.
The suit says that behavioral experts who know the animal say that these elephants are showing signs of being stressed and they don't like their confinement.
They're stressed. I'm just saying.
There you go. And last night at PPG Paints Arena,
Crosby scores!
Sidney scored last night to move past Mario Lemieux for the most points ever scored by a Penguin.
Followed by Evgeny Malkin, Jaromir Jagr's on that list, but that's rarefied air. And Sidney Crosby obviously is the leader here, but he's also moved up the charts on the NHL's list.
Yeah, in fact, for the all-time points scored list now in the league, he's number 7, just ahead of Mario.
So much fun. I happened to be there last night, and just a sidebar, so were a bunch of the Steelers, including Aaron Rodgers, and basically the offensive lineman and alum Brett Kiesel were all in a box, and when they showed him, the place went nuts, as you can expect. I love to see that inner sport, you know, support that happens here a lot.
And plus, the Pens have won 3 in a row. They got down early by 1 goal and then came back and scored 5 in a row, and they basically put their foot on the gas and never went looked back.
I wonder if some of the Pens will be at Acrisure Sunday night when the Steelers host the Green Bay Packers. It's the hottest ticket for a regular season game in memory right now. So, and that's all set up because Aaron Rodgers plays his old team and has a chance to play against all 32 teams.
And Larry, the Steelers are wearing those new throwback jerseys with the gold helmets. It'll, against a team with gold helmets.
Hopefully.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.